Dear listeners, Sai Ram. We now bring you Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. Today's episode was first aired on 12th May 2016 as part of Thursday Live programs on Asia Stream of Radio Sai. This program is hosted by Team Radio Sai's Bishu. Let us offer our most grateful and prayerful salutations at the lotus feet of our most beautiful beloved Bhagwan. Dearest Lord, please bless us so that we strive relentlessly to walk on the path you have laid down for us, even if we fail at times, even if we falter. Even though we have many shortcomings, let nothing and no one ever dispirit us. Let no failure ever incapacitate us. And let us always march with determination on the path laid down by you. With this prayer, let's move on and welcome to this special episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. I call this a special episode because today we are not going to learn a bhajan. Today we are going to learn something which is an indelible part of every bhajan session, but not a bhajan. The song with which every bhajan session concludes. Yes, the Arati song, the Satya Sai Arati. And the reason we have decided to learn this song is manifold. First, as I told you, there is no bhajan session without the aarti. Sometimes there can be only aarti, but no bhajans. But there is never an occasion where you have bhajans but do not have aarti. It is such an important part of every bhajan session. Secondly, there are a few Telugu words in this song, even though the song is largely in Sanskrit. And it is really important to get their pronunciation right, because wrong pronunciation gives a very distorted meaning of this composition. It can actually mean completely the opposite. So it's really important that we pronounce every word in the aarti in the right manner. Thirdly, there's a lot of significance about this practice, and we get a glimpse of this only when we dwell on its lyrics and their meaning. Even though the tune is largely simple with a similar pattern repeating, the lyrics are extremely significant. In fact, in the initial days of Sai Bhajans, Swami himself used to do the aarti to his own shrine. And he himself used to take the plate and go to every devotee. He used to take the light to all. That is how the Lord taught us. So it's really vital that we clearly understand what we are doing when we are doing the aarti, so that we can benefit from it to the maximum extent possible. And finally, there have been requests from many listeners, especially listeners who are not of Indian origin, to explain the meaning of the aarti and to clarify the pronunciation and the tune. So we thought we should not delay this any further, and that is how we are at this special session of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. In fact, this special session will continue for 6 weeks. So we have 6 episodes of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom dedicated to the aarti song. In the first episode today, you will listen to the lyrics and the tune of the first few introductory lines of the aarti, the zero stanza of the aarti, and then we'll go on to discuss the significance of this ritual. Like always, Brother Ravi Kumar will now coach us about the lyrics and the tune, and then we'll have Brother Anirudh explain to us about the composition, the raga and the technicalities. And in the third part of this program, we will have Brother Amey Deshpande sharing his thoughts on the meaning of the first few lines of the Satya Sai Aarti. So let's begin with the lyrics.
Om Jai Jagadisha Hare Swami Satya Sai Hare Bhakta Jana Samrakshak Bhakta Jana Samrakshak Parti Maheshwara Om Jai Jagadisha Hare. The Mangala Arati is sung in the scale C sharp Madhyam. ಓಂ ಜಯ ಜಗದೀಶ ಹರೆ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಸತ್ಯ ಸಾಯಿ ಹರೆ ಭಕ್ತ ಜನ ಸಂರಕ್ಷಕ ಭಕ್ತ ಜನ ಸಂರಕ್ಷಕ ಪರ್ತಿ ಮಹೇಶ್ವರ ಓಂ ಜಯ ಜಗದೀಶ ಹರೆ
So you heard our very popular aarti in the voice of Brother Ravi Kumar, and this is how it should be sung. And for those of us who accompany the aarti in different musical instruments, Brother Anirudh is here with us to tell us about the raga of the aarti, the swaras of this composition, and the pace at which aarti should be sung. So tell us, Anirudh, what is the raga of our aarti, which is probably the same as many other aartis?
Yeah, Saram Vishu. Saram. I think before we go to the raga of the aarti, it was really nice that you took this session, that it's really important that, you know, aarti is one common thing which is sung everywhere, which is performed after every bhajan. And it's very important that we know it properly and we sing it properly. So, I really appreciate that you have taken aarti as this session. And if you ask me the raga of aarti, it is very, very simple. Just the Shankara Varnam, you can say, which is Bilawal in the Hindustani classical music.
Sarigama padani sa, sanirapa magari sa.
These are the seven notes of Bilawal. And in aarti you have basically the from
sa ra ra ri sa ni ra re ga ma pa da.
Till da it goes.
Dapa magare sa ni sa.
Generally, aarti is sung in the scale G. You can call it in the Western scale G, or two madhyam we call it in the Indian scale. The two madhyam is nothing but G major. That's the chord you put usually in the sai centers and in samiti. And for the tutor, that is for the teaching purpose, to know what is the lyric and how is it sung. So we have taken 1.5 madhyam as the shruti, which is nothing but F sharp major in the Western scale. Normally the introduction for the aarti would be given like
Om Jai Jagadish Hari.
So coming to the swaras of this aarti, so let's just do a run with tabla.
Sure.
Let's see how it sounds. I'll just sing the swaras instead of the lyrics.
Definitely.
Sa 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 ri sa ni sa ri re ga ma pa pa da pa ma ga ri re ga ma ma ga ri sa re ga ma ma ga ri sa ni re ga re sa ni da re ga re sa ni sa.
So this is the first part of it. Basically, the swaras for this part is same as the second and the third part also, the stanzas also. Except the lyrics might change, like
Shashi Vadana Sri Kara Sa 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 Ri Sa.
So that many sas you put.
Mata Pita Sa 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 Sa.
So that would be 4 sas, that would be 8 sas, like that. So it basically depends on the lyric. And if you observe this, the first part of it, the major standing note in this aarti is
re.
That's what we observe in this.
Re 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 ga re sa ni sa 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 re sa ni sa re 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 ga ma pa pa da pa ma ga re re ga re ga
again
re ga ma ma ga re sa ni re re ga re sa ni da re 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 ga re sa ni sa.
So it's just important that it's just an observation, but
yeah. Re and sa.
Yeah, re and sa. And it would be nice if we stand properly on the re and sa.
Yes.
Om Jai Jagadish Hare. Om Jai Jagadish Hare.
So you can get more connected to the aarti and sounds melodious too if you stick to the shruti.
And it's a very easy tune, something which anyone can learn.
Exactly. The tune is very, very simple and it is universal, I can say, because there are many aartis on many gods, many, even I can say on Mother Ganga also.
Yes.
Om Jai Gange Mata. Yes. It follows the same pattern. So once we learn this pattern, I feel learning aarti is much easier. I don't feel you need to sit and then, you know, learn. Because you hear it many times, the hearing goes within you and, you know, hear it many times, like Vedam, you know.
Yes.
You learn by just hearing many, many times.
Yes.
So probably you hear this aarti many times. For the lyrics, yeah, I really recommend to go through once. You get the lyrics, then it's, the tune is so simple that once or twice if you hear, you can sing it off.
As you mentioned, Anirudh, this is something universal, every Sai center.
Exactly.
You know, even in Western countries, even in countries where they are not able to sing Sanskrit bhajans.
Okay.
They sing bhajans in their own language, be it Swahili or
correct.
Be it any other language. They definitely have the aarti in the end.
Correct.
And it'll be nice if you can demonstrate the aarti on the piano, because, you know, then it'll give them a very good idea of how it is to be played.
Exactly.
On the accompanying instruments.
Correct.
As
so,
it is sung.
Yeah. Though harmonium is our universal bhajan accompanying instrument, which we follow in the Prashanti Mandir. But there are even Sai centers where, you know, they play piano. And for those of them who want to play this in the piano and get this right, what are the exact notations through which this aarti follows? And yeah, harmonium, we have the typical start and then, you know, harmonium is basically an accompanying instrument to the singer. So piano can be like played the tune itself. So I can probably play the aarti in the piano.
Was very beautiful. I hope this will help everyone in the music group to ensure that we sing the aarti well, we conclude the bhajan session on a very powerful note, because the aarti also picks up speed and it ends in a crescendo. And when it is done well, the whole session ends so beautifully, and you know, the bhajan session fills you with so much of delight, and finally it ends with the Shanti Mantra, so you feel so complete and so much at peace as the session ends. So let us do the aarti prayer with as little flaws as possible. Let us use this opportunity to ensure that every time we sing the aarti, we do it with as much perfection as we can. Thank you very much, Anirudh.
Thank you, Vishu. Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.
And now comes the most important part of this session. We are now going to discuss why we should do the aarti. What is the significance of this flame How did this practice start? And what should be our attitude? What should be our mental framework and mental preparation whenever we do this ritual? So let us spend some time to dwell on the significance of the Satya Sai Aarti. And we will do this now through a conversation with Brother Amitesh Pandey. Sai Ram, Brother Amay, and welcome to this special episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom.
Sai Ram, Vishu Brother.
I call this special episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom because in every episode we have a bhajan, and in this episode we have started discussing on the aarti. We had Brother Ravi Kumar sing the aarti for us, and one of the reasons why we took up the aarti song is there have been requests from many devotees to explain the meaning of the aarti, because the aarti is in the language Telugu and not many people are familiar, even though there are a lot of Sanskrit words, but because it is in written in Telugu, and I think people sometimes do not get what the meaning of each word is. And I thought even otherwise, this is such an integral part of every bhajan session. And I think if we dwell on what it means to each one of us, you know, if we share some of our thoughts, probably it will help to enrich every devotee's bhajan session.
True, very true. Not only bhajans, a bhajan session, I guess aarti is a part of any Sai activity, even at the end of Narayan Seva. Actually, if to put it in another way, that whenever we expect Swami to be there, whenever we have invited Swami to any function, that function has to end typically with aarti, because it is like a ceremonial invitation and a ceremonial way of telling Swami that the function is getting over here. And so it is, it's a very ceremonious thing, I guess, for any function connected to the Satya Sai organization.
So true. I mean, if there is an inauguration, for example, of a new building, you will have the program begin with Vedic chants, and you know, then there would be talks and everything, but it would end with aarti to Swami.
Yes, yes.
So it is definitely an integral part of any Sai function, as you very beautifully said. So before we go on to what this, the lyrics of the aarti song mean, can we just dwell a little bit on why we do aarti? What are your thoughts? I know Bhagwan has shared many things in his discourses. If anything comes to your mind, maybe we could start the discussion from there.
Surely, yes. And aarti actually is a very beautiful part of any Sanatan Dharma's function. Anything, whether it is a yajnam or whether it is a bhajan or whether it is seva, etc. Why I say Sanatan Dharma? Because it's actually Hinduism. But to probably put it in a larger context, one of the things that I just want, the first thought that came to me was, whenever we actually talk about aarti, you know, it's the end. It's the literal meaning of the word aarti is cessation of worship, which is the end of worship or the closure of worship. And so typically it so happens, especially in our bhajans, that we start the bhajans, you know, with full gusto and full josh. We come to the end of you know, the bhajan session, the aarti starts, and all our shoulders kind of droop, in the sense, kind of saying that, okay, now my job is over, and from here onwards it is, you know, it'll go on, the aarti will go on and all of that. But if we actually look at the inner significance of aarti and our Swami's aarti in particular, I think it's a most fantastic end to any kind of a function. The aarti itself is such a beautiful ritual, if you can say, and if we can actually understand its inner significance, it is a tremendous experience every time to sit through an aarti. The aarti actually is done, you know, to the ceremonial godhead or the deity, which is presiding over that particular function in any temple, if you see. So one of the first reasons or that I can talk about aarti is, in the olden days, you know, when the Lord would be in the sanctum sanctorum, the garbhagriha, if we can call it, and no artificial light, even to this day, in several of the very large temples, very famous temples, very old temples, the actual Sanctum Sanctorum does not have any artificial light. It continues to be lit by flame. So it becomes actually very difficult for one to see God. And in fact, that is the inner significance, that, you know, in this ignorance-filled, avidya-filled mind, to have the darshan of the Lord, you have to do something, some sadhana. It is only in that jnana chakshu, it is only in the light of the vision of our inner mind, that we will be actually able to have the darshan. So this aarti, whenever the purohit or the pujari takes the aarti of the Lord, he very gently takes it across the entire body of the Lord. Thereby, all the devotees are able to see, they are able to enjoy the darshan of the Lord. Able to look at all the intricacies of the beauty of the Lord, whether it is his jewels or whether it is his features of his face. You know, I recollect a similar darshan which I had in Tirupati of Lord Venkateshwara, and it's such a beautiful experience, you know, to actually see the Lord up so close and, yes, you know, to enjoy his beautiful expressions, you know, the way his nose is, the way, yes, his eyes is, and that itself is like a dhyana.
Dhyana, yes.
Right, that's almost like a contemplation that we are doing on the form of the Lord. And one must not in any way, the form of the Lord is not a small thing. Because if you look at, for example, the Shirdi Sai Satcharita, there is a whole chapter which is just meditating on the form of the Lord. As much as we say that the Lord cannot have form, he is Nirakara, but if there is one thing which, if meditated upon, is also capable of giving us the ultimate, it is the form of the Lord. Right? So, in the Shirdi Sai Satcharita, there is a beautiful description of how we must meditate on Lord Shirdi Baba's, the whole his posture. He is sitting with, you know, his right leg upon his left leg, and he is having his left arm, which is rested on the foot. And it is almost like his toe is the full moon and his two fingers are the branches of the trees. And just like we would look at the moon through the branch of a tree, so should we begin our meditation on the form of the Lord, on the toe of the Lord. So there's a very beautiful description on the meditation of how we can meditate upon the Lord. So that is the first thing that comes to my mind when we talk about aarti. Now, of course, our Lord has been so compassionate that we've never had issues of, you know, vision with Swami. You know, he has given us the most beautiful form, and there was never a problem for us to actually see Swami, to behold Swami, though his frame was a little short, but we didn't have that problem. But today, when we are unable to physically behold him, we still have to use this technique of actually waving that flame across his entire body and meditating upon that form in our mind. So that is one thing that comes to my mind. If we actually go even to the flame itself, so the flame typically is made either out of camphor or it is made out of ghee and a wick. So both of them have purposes. Now they say that the aarti itself is a shortened form of a yajnam. Because yes, in yajna also you put ghee, in yajna also you put all the panchamahabhutas, and similar is the case with the wick and the lamp. The camphor has a very special property. Apparently, we all know, right? The purest camphor does not leave any residue behind.
Yes.
So, in fact, that is what I keep whenever we attend aarti in mandir. That is what I keep thinking about. That may my life, this is what Swami has said, that let our lives be like that camphor, you know, which silently burns away.
Yes.
And finally, there is no residual left.
Yes.
And it only gives light while it is alive, and it smells beautifully.
Amazing. In fact, I remember two things, Amay. I was talking to Brother Niranjan, who's the warden of the senior boys hostel now, and he was saying that in their time with Bhagwan in Kodaikanal in 1998, Bhagwan mentioned about this meditation, and Swami said that the way to meditate is that you imagine my form. Imagine Bhagwan's form and start right from his lotus feet and go up slowly up to his hands, his chest and his beautiful hair, and then come down and just do this exercise for 3 times at least. And Swami said, once you imagine that, the Kalpana Chitra, you know, your imaginary form actually becomes your envisioning. You envision that form, and then that actually becomes the way the Lord will appear to you. You get that vision. So absolutely, your imagination becomes the form in which you envision Him, and finally that becomes the vision of the Lord. That becomes the Shakshatkar of Rupa of the Lord.
Exactly, yes. Yeah.
And so that is how Bhagwan had said we should meditate on. And you know, the Aarti is basically, as you mentioned, was only facilitating this process in the earlier times, and that's why the Aarti, they used to take it slowly, raise it very slowly, and they have to do a complete oval circle around the Lord so that you can see every limb of the Lord and appreciate the beauty.
Correct.
That is one, you know, as you are mentioning, this is what came to my mind about meditation, and the Aarti is basically a meditation.
Exactly.
Basically a beautiful darshan of the Lord.
Yeah, and therefore, in a sense, when we say that it is a cessation of worship,
yeah,
it is actually that we are saying that, O Lord, who is outside of me, yeah, who I have been worshipping outside, now I am trying to take His entire figure within.
Within.
And so till my next worship begins, I will keep Him within.
Yes.
And then once again, when the next worship comes, I shall bring Him out, I shall do Prana Pratishtha or whatever, you know, I shall establish Him outside, I shall praise Him. So, you know, inside also there is Swami, outside also there is Swami.
And in fact, many times even I used to think that why is it that, you know, we do Aarti in the end, it's like we are asking Swami to, you know, okay, Swami, now you can leave.
Time up.
But actually later I realized that this is not what it is. Basically, you have sat there and you have prayed for 30 minutes, 45 minutes. Now, finally, you want to see the Lord. That's how it was in the earlier times.
Correct.
You know, you go and pray. So finally, when the priest offers Aarti, because of the light, you actually see the Lord. And so now you can take back that form of the Lord in your heart and go back to your homes.
Correct. So in fact, and that can really happen. I mean, in the spiritual parlance, it can only happen when we burn our egos.
Yes.
And I think that is the significance of the lamp, the fire which is being waved around the Lord's form.
Yes. Yes.
So that also has one more, possibly one more interconnection there, that if you want to see the Lord's form,
yes,
you better burn yourself up, your yes, ego, all your achievements, etc., yes, etc.
Exactly. And the camphor that you are mentioning, again, on one occasion when Bhagwan had picked up students to take them to Kodaikanal, Swami told them that there is a difference between salt and camphor, Swami said. Both are white, but there is difference between salt and camphor.
Wow.
And Swami was trying to tell them that, see, I have picked you up because I am distinguishing between salt and camphor. So it is up to you to live up to being camphor, wherein you give up everything and become nothing. Give all and be nothing.
Correct.
Burn yourself away completely in adoration and in service of the Lord.
Exactly. So the other inner significance that comes to my mind is, there's a very beautiful song in Marathi, which is the Lavakusha's Ramayan.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks about, the author is actually talking about how Lavakusha would have felt singing Ramayana in front of Rama. It is like a small jyoti doing aarti for the sun itself.
Yes.
Right? When you're glorifying Rama in front of Rama. And so, my mother used to, when I was a child, my mother used to, would tell me that that's exactly what we are doing during Aarti. He is considered to be Koti Surya Samapradava, equivalent to a crore of suns. Okay, and here is our little lamp, which is, you know, doing Aarti to that supremely effulgent, the one who, you know, has given light to this entire universe, at the causal and the subtle level. So we are actually telling us that in property, I am no different from you. The same fire which is within me, the divine spark, you are the epitome of that. And so it is actually when we are doing Aarti, we are actually waving the flame of the Jivatma to the Paramatma. You know, in effect, we are just the same. You're just a much, much larger flame than I am. You know, so that is another thought which comes to me very often when we are a part of the Aarti. And actually, it in a sense gives us this Advaitic feeling that I and you are one.
One. Yes.
So there is this angle also to it that not just that you are someone beautiful and you're someone outside and inside of me, but we are actually the same property wise. So there is another thought which comes to me.
Yeah, I think you mentioned about Advaita. What immediately occurred to me was Visishta Advaita, because I felt that, you know, I'm a spark of the divine. He is that huge conflagration of goodness and that light and brightness, and we are just a spark. So you feel that connection with him. And ultimately, when everything is offered, you know, when the flame also goes, then you just become one with him.
Yeah, so, I am in the light is in me, and then I am the light.
I'm the light, yeah.
So that's pretty much what is happening there. Mm. So in fact, if we take such kind of thought, and I'm sure many others will have their own way of looking at it. So if we are able to think of these thoughts when the Aarti is going on, it will not become like the end of a particular program, but yes, actually a beginning of a much larger contemplation, that should really spark within us when the Aarti is going on.
Absolutely. I mean, it's really wonderful. And the other thought that comes to me all the time is, you know, as you earlier also mentioned, that it is a small yagnam that we are doing. And whenever any yagnam happens, you know, when we say swaha, swaha, the imagination that is always very apt, which I think, is that you sacrifice. So what do you sacrifice? As Swami says, you sacrifice all that is not godly in you, because that is the only thing that Swami wants you should sacrifice, the animal tendencies. So yes, I think many times, you know, I also imagine this, that every time the Aarti is happening, you know, that you offer something that the Lord wants.
Yes.
So that we are cleansed. It's a very, very cleansing experience.
Exactly, exactly. So exactly, as you said, a couple of times this thought has also come, that in that flame which is burning, now let it burn away my desires, my ego, or in case, you know, I've been jealous because somebody has sung extremely well. Even that thought sometimes, Swami, take this jealousy also and let it burn away in that in that Aarti, such that I don't take away with me anything which was non-godly beyond that bhajan session. Right? Many times we pick up a big baggage after bhajans.
Yes.
Because, you know, possibly we wouldn't have got chances to sing. We wouldn't have got a chance to sing the bhajan we wanted. Or, you know, somebody messed up for example, the harmonium player did not put a proper shruti. All these kind of problems happen. And I think Aarti is a beautiful consummation of this entire process, that whatever has happened has happened. Just dump it into the fire.
Even if you have not sung well, just offer it.
Exactly. Just offer it, because that is what was supposed to happen.
Yes.
Swami, I offer this to you. I take away with me only the positive vibrations that have emanated from the whole process of bhajan. And I really think that, you know, we as Sai devotees and as Swami's children must be able to walk out of a bhajan session, especially after Aarti, with a tremendous sense of bliss and, you know, love, which many times I must confess, it doesn't happen to me. You know, we treat a bhajan session, let me say, many times I have treated a bhajan session very, very ordinarily. It's not an ordinary thing, you know, and in Bhagavatam it is said that even to think of the Lord's name, you should have done merit in the past birth.
Yes.
So the very fact that we are even thinking of the Lord, I think it's a great blessing. It's a great grace that has befallen on us. That is why we are able to think. And now if we just get up from the bhajan session as if, yeah, nothing has happened, and or rather something bad has happened, we're really missing the bus. So in fact, take the Aarti as an opportunity to dump everything into that fire, burn it, and, you know, finish it all over there, so that when we walk out, there's only bliss and this contentment in our head that, yeah, we have spent another evening blissfully thinking of the Lord and His qualities.
Amazing. You know, Ame, what comes to mind is how Bhagwan would want Aarti sometimes more than once in bhajan sessions.
Yes, yes.
It's so much grace, and that at that point in time, we used to think, was Swami not aware that we have already done the Aarti? No, it's very funny. Swami is asking again for Aarti. You know, how can we send him away? All sorts of very confusing.
Yeah, if I can just interrupt thoughts. You here, I remember one very vivid, experience or episode. It was, I think, 2009 or 2008 Shivratri. And typically the bhajans go on night long. And so there is no Aarti in the evening. for Swami.
Yes.
The once the bhajan starts, then the Lingodbhavam happens, and the arti happens typically the next day morning. And that particular year, the Swami actually asked for arti.
Yes.
The previous evening. And we were all, for a moment, we were all like surprised. I mean, Swami, bhajans all through the night, you know.
How can we have arti now?
How can we have arti now? And, you know, as this thought was coming to me, there's another part of my mind, the good part of my mind, saying, you stupid idiot. You know, you are sitting in Shiva's direct divine presence. Here is Shiva saying, boss, it is my night. I decide how I want to celebrate my night. I want the arti today. Okay, and that is what you give him. Because yeah. Guess what? See, this is what happens to us. You know, we start putting our own... Swami only fixed up this, you know, ritual of not having arti.
Yeah.
But it is Swami himself who is now challenging it. Yeah. Our job should be just to accept. Right? When he is our Lord God Almighty sitting over there.
Yes.
And he is saying, boss, I want the arti. You know, for some strange reason, I want the arti. Okay? Just give it to me, man.
Yeah.
How much time does it... And there were people walking up to Swami to explain to him that, no, Swami, actually arti happens the next morning. It was a fairly large, long conversation, you know.
I know.
And Swami was like, from Swami's face at that moment, no, I felt that, what are you telling me about arti? Right?
Yes.
And in fact, in spite of a couple of people walking up to Swami and trying to explain to him, explain within quotes,
yes. Yes.
That arti doesn't happen in the evening, Swami still asked for the arti. Yes. The arti was taken.
Yes.
And guess what? The bhajans continued after that.
Oh, yeah, I mean...
How easy or difficult...
Arti does not mean bhajans have to be end.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah.
That's something that unfortunately has got into our psyche.
Exactly.
Maybe, we don't know, maybe that was a very... Yeah. Arti is such a cleansing experience. Maybe Swami wanted that will help a lot of devotees to maybe clean themselves that night.
Yeah. I mean, we don't know. See, when Swami does anything, it's at so many different levels. You know, for a moment I was thinking probably, you know, all the Ganas and everybody from Kailash have come down and they said, Swami, you know, tomorrow morning we are going to be busy with some Narayan Seva or some such thing in Kailash. Can we have a little arti here? And Swami would have said, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
And you know, then he's asking, we humans, you know, we mortals. And you know, here we are saying, no, Swami, we don't give you arti tonight. We give you arti tomorrow morning. You know, so
yeah.
I can never forget that.
Amazing.
That particular episode, it was a very, very funny episode.
And I think very significant to break that notion that arti means a cessation of worship. Arti just means darshan of the Lord.
Correct.
That's all.
It is and just taking that. The Lord from outside to within you,
yes.
And start your contemplation there until the next bhajan session or the next puja starts.
Yes. In fact, in many other occasions also, people do arti to welcome the Lord also.
Yes.
I know in North India, you know, when a guest goes, they welcome the person doing arti.
Correct.
So it is not necessarily cessation or even darshan. It is welcoming also. So it can be anything. It is just...
Probably at one level, it also is tamasoma jyotirgamaya.
Yes.
You know, to remove the darkness of ignorance from our minds.
Yes.
So that is also one more possible explanation of why we are doing arti.
Yes.
That, oh Lord, please... fill our lives with light and love.
Yes.
So that could be another, explanation of this. And of course, there would be so many more explanation of
absolutely
of arti.
So can we go to the first few lines of Satya Sai Arti?
Yeah, I think with this now, when we start the arti process, we know what is the ritual behind, and now we are actually coming to the lyrics.
Yeah. So Om Jai Jagadish Hare Swami Satya Sai Hare Bhakta Jana Samrakshaka. Bhaktajana Samrakshaka Parti Maheshwara Om Jai Jagadish Hare. Om Jai Jagadish Hare is a common refrain, isn't it, in many other artis also?
Correct. Just to go into the, you know, the inner significance, anything which starts with Om,
yes,
actually becomes a mantra.
Yes.
And a mantra, the word is Manana Trayati Iti Mantra, that is one which when contemplated upon repeatedly, Mananath, it protects you, Trayati. So, in fact, the Satya Sai Arati is a mantra because it starts with Om.
Yes.
Right? So, that is in fact the first thing that we should remember, that this is not just any other arti. And of course, there are several artis which don't start with Om Jai Jagadish. Om, the word Om. And the Om is so significant in many ways. Any Vedic chanting starts with Om. Our bhajan start with Om. And Om is considered to be the primeval sound, the pranava, yes, etc. We can do a whole discussion just on Omkaram itself.
Yes.
So when we are starting with Om, what we are really doing is, even the way Swami explains in Dhyanavahini, the Om concept itself covers, as Mandik Upanishad says, all the four stages of our existence, which is Jagrat, Swapna, Sushupti and Turiya, which is our fundamental reality. So the moment we say Om, we are actually taking it through all the, you know, all the three states of existence. So not just in my waking state, but even in my dream state and my deep sleep state, let the vibrations pass on through all these three states. So it's a very significant start. You know, right in the beginning, there's a punch, you know, the aarti itself is starting with a major punch by saying that, hey, this is mantra. You know, when we are saying Om Jai Jagadish Hare, we are starting off as a mantra. So after that, let us continuously contemplate on it, then it protects us.
Amazing.
So then, of course, the next few words is Jai is victory, victory, yes, to the Lord. Jagadish. So what is Jagat? Swami has explained, right? Jagad Ish is the master of the world, and Jagat itself means that which comes and goes,
yes,
that which is born. So Ja is Janma, so that is one understanding of, and Gat is to, you know, to cease.
Yes.
So that which is born and that which goes.
Yes.
So as long as we are going to be in duality, every thought is actually has a birth and has a death, right? And we are saying now right from a thought, because this entire universe, the whole creation itself is from a thought. Ekoham bahusyam. The primeval one thought, let us be many. So it is actually, and that is supposed to be called vimarsha. The first thought, okay, is supposed to be called vimarsha. So the whole universe has actually come out of a thought process, and then we have this entire jagat. And another understanding of Jagat is also our breathing process. So Ja is to inhale and Gat is to exhale. So he is, when we say he's Jagad Ish, he is the master of not only this entire creation, but also the inhalation, the one who is the master of the inhalation process, which is nothing but Soham. Right? So that is the meaning of actually Jagadish. Right? So it's not just Jagadish means, you know, the master of the world, the master of the lands, the way we otherwise understand it. But it's a very, very deep significance that even Jagadish also has. So we are starting off by saying that, you know, Om Jai, we are saying that victory to the one who, because of whom I exist.
Yes.
This body exists because of the breath.
Yes.
And the breath, he is the master of the breath, because you, yes, never know,
yeah,
when you will breathe the last.
I know.
So in that sense, so Jagat also has that.
It's like, you know, you're offering your salutations, you're hailing the one who is your very life breath, whom you cannot exist even for a second.
Second, yes.
So that is the feeling in the end of the bhajan session. We're just in complete supplication to the Lord. You submit yourself and you sing His glories to the one who is your very prana, without whom you cannot exist.
Correct. That is why I feel, you know, the Sanskrit language is such a beautiful language, because it has layers and layers of meaning. Just like you would peel an onion.
Yes.
You know, you just find one more layer of meaning.
Yes.
And I'm sure that the pundits out there will have 10 more different meanings of, yes, Jagat. And I think each one of them will have some relevance.
Yes.
Absolutely critical relevance to, you know, this. So I think it is about how much we are going to contemplate. The more we contemplate, the more we unpeel it, unwrap, the, you know, the mystery which is there in this. I think that is what gives that much beauty to anything which is connected with Bhagwan. And as Swami and as the Vedas themselves say, that Brahman is actually like an onion.
Yes.
If you were to say, what is the onion? They will say, you peel it and you will find it. But the longer you peel it and the, you know, the more you get to the center, there's really nothing.
Nothing there.
When you unwrap the whole onion, yes, in between, yes, there is nothing.
Yes.
You know,
yeah.
So in fact, the Lord is like that.
As Bhagwan used to say, no, an onion, if you slice it vertically, then it is like shankha, and if you slice it horizontally, it is like chakra.
Yes. So I mean, in that also, in that shankha and chakra also, there is sudarshan. So chakra is called sudarshan, which is the darshan that, yes, we should have, And Shankha is the sound, you know. So sound and vision, which are both very important. Of course, that's, you know, as Khalil Gibran says, you know, God is an enigma wrapped in a mystery.
Yes.
Or a mystery wrapped, a mystery wrapped in an enigma.
Yeah,
so it is, the beauty lies in our ability to, you know, unwrap it. And that is what Jagadish is.
Yeah. Amazing. Swami Satya Sai Hare. Then you have,
I think Swami Satya Sai, there's one more thing very beautiful there. Why do we call our Swami as Swami?
Yes.
You know, see, Swami, now today it's become a very colloquial term. In many places it is just Sami. But Swami is something you call only a master.
Yes.
Right? Like the 16,000 princesses which were saved by Krishna would call Krishna as Swami.
Swami.
And along with all the wives. That doesn't mean that he married all the 16,000. But it means that he looked after, he was overlooking their welfare.
Welfare.
So when we say that our Swami, we are Swami's Gopikas or his Vanaras or whatever, he's our Swami, he's our master. So that itself is, I feel, we tend to kind of overlook this. But he is, because he is the master of every breath, that's why he is Swami. Satya Sai. So what is, if you actually go beyond the, you know, the pure the thing, in the 1975, Swami's 50th birthday, Swami explains what is Satya Sai. Okay, Satya Sai, Swami says, is not just this body, but Satya Sai, he says, the one which rests on truth. Because if you look at the entire world and all our human endeavors, whether it is scientific or metaphysical, physical or metaphysical, it's about trying to understand what is the truth. We are all in pursuit of truth.
Yes.
Right? So, Swami in fact says everything is born out of truth, and in truth will everything consume
merge
it.
Into.
Merge into. Right? So, it is the one which rests on Sai who is our master.
Yes.
So, even Swami Satya Sai Hare, when we are saying, it has a much, much deeper significance of not just limiting ourselves to this 5'3" form, but what is our fundamental reality? That is our truth. That is our master. So we are actually asking ourselves that, O mind or O soul, you are the one which rests on truth. Make him your master.
Yes.
So even in that very first word of Swami Satya Sai Hare, it can go really deep.
Amazing. Amazing. Brother Ami, we'll stop the discussion for this episode.
Sure.
And probably we should continue in the next episode, dwelling some more time on this first line and then probably move on to the first stanza of the Aarti. Thank you very much.
Let us all pray to Swami that he gives us the strength, you know, and the ekagrata, that is, if I can say, you know, the concentration to go deep into every word which is associated with him. Let us not take Swami and everything that he has in any way lightly, because our redemption really lies in our ability to dive deep into this ocean and get, you know, the gems of wisdom.
It all depends on our intensity and our perseverance and patience.
Yes, true.
Thank you very much.
Sai Ram.
Sai Ram. So that was Brother Ami Deshpande, a former student of Baba's University and now a faculty member in the Department of Management and Commerce in Bhagwan's University in Prashant Nilayam. Brother Ami has been singing in the divine presence of Bhagwan for nearly 2 decades now. He is an accomplished musician and a valuable member of the Prashanti Mandir Bhajan Group. With this, dear listeners, let's move on to the last part of this special episode and now listen to the Aarti and sing along this immensely significant song.
Om Jai Jagadish Hare Swami Satya Sari Hare Bhakta Jana Sangrashaka Bhakta Jana Sangrashaka Pati Mahe
Jai Jagadish Hare.
This we have come to the end of the first part of the 6-part series on the Satya Sai Aarti. The audio engineers for this program are Sunil and Abhishek, and the background score was done by another alumnus from Chennai, T.S. Ramakrishnan. Dear listeners, do tell us what you feel about this program. Your feedback is immensely valuable for us. As always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. With a heart full of gratitude, we offer this endeavor at the lotus feet of our most beautiful, beloved Bhagwan. You were listening to an episode of our program, Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. This episode was first aired on 12th May 2016. As part of Thursday Live from Prashanthi Nilayam on Asia Stream of Radio Sai Global Harmony. This program was hosted by Team Radio Sai's Bishu. Thank you and Sai Ram.